Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
And I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
All right, welcome back to the Back in Time podcast, and this is teaser trailer episode. This week we are discussing the 1993 coming-of-age film, The Sandlot, and I am joined today by a special guest. I've got Phantom Dark Dave on the show. Dave, how's it going, my man?
Hey, what's up, Kyle?
It's good to talk with you again.
So it's pretty cool to come back on here and do something a little different.
Yeah, so for some of you that may not be familiar with Dave, he was actually on the episode 27 when we discussed A Nightmare on Elm Street, and that was with the Black Cat Shadow with Andy as well, and we had a great time on our show, and then we did an episode of theirs, and then, you know, we DM back and forth, and now here we are, and it's just me and Dave this time. So it sounds like a weird date or something. I don't know.
it's a special occasion.
Exactly. But yeah, no, I'm excited to have you, man. So I wanted to start by, I know you have a new show that you've just started putting out, and it may have been out for a month by the time this episode airs, but you know, fill us in a little bit on Dave's pop culture podcast.
Yeah, so a lot of people know me as being a guy who's pretty obsessed with horror and science fiction, especially classic stuff. And I love doing it. And I'm a part of the Black Cat Shadow podcast with Andy and Dakota. And I wanted to still be a part of that, but also do another show where I'm the main host and I can, you know, venture around having special guests on there and just talk about, similar to what you guys do on this show, where you relive a lot of the movies that you grew up with. Yeah. I want to do a lot of that with TV shows. So comic books, cartoons, the way it all comes into the 90s, but then also dive into classic science fiction and just, you know, have a lot of fun with it. So
awesome. So I know I just recently listened to episode 2, which was Erie, Indiana, which is a show about a state I grew up in and still live in. I had no idea the show existed, but after listening to your podcast, I was sold, man. I've got it in my Amazon Prime queue. I'm going to start watching the show anytime now.
Yeah, after I recorded the basically I did a run through of just the pilot episode to kind of explain what the show's about. I remember thinking to myself, like, man, this show is really good, and it's canceled after, you know, just one season. It reminds me of Firefly, you know, another show that was so good and then it only had one season.
That's a show I need to watch. I do love me some Christina Hendricks, so that should be an easy sell. On the topic of Christina Hendricks for a second, we've got the, and this will be out by the time this airs, but the latest movie coming out for Strangers, which is basically the sequel, like 10 years later. I think it's called Prey at Dawn or Prey at Night. Yeah, Strangers, Prey at Night. Do you have any interest in seeing that? Were you a fan of Strangers?
So it's funny. I was listening to, the Ace Ventura episode yesterday, and then I listened to the Saw episode you guys released, because Saw is one of my favorite franchise.
Yep.
And I don't remember which one it was. It was probably the Ace Ventura, but I remember the Strangers came up, and if I'm not mistaken, JD said that was his favorite modern horror movie.
It is.
And I cringed because I hate the Strangers. So with that being said, I actually saw the Strangers in theater, and I mean, I just felt like I was on a cat and mouse chase that had no real ending, and yeah. I was just really upset. So the fact that they made a sequel just blows my mind.
It seems odd timing that they would wait a decade to put together a sequel, especially for horror movies, which, I mean, that movie made a huge profit, you know, regardless if it's liked by everybody or not. I'm surprised they didn't run a sequel out right away, which is what they normally do.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of, did you see Happy Death Day?
I did.
That's another movie where it had a lot of hype. It made a lot of money, and I watched it, and it wasn't a bad movie, but I remember when it was over, I was like, huh, one-time watch. So maybe it's just me, but a lot of people seem to like that movie too.
Yeah, I didn't mind it, but I don't see myself like watching it again anytime soon. So
yeah, I think my non-spoiler comment was when I found out what was going on and kind of who was doing what, I was like, okay, that's cool. And then when I found out the reason, I was like, lame. And that was
yeah. It. You know, one movie I just saw in theaters, which if you haven't seen it yet, this one does live up to the hype. I don't even know if it has a lot of hype, but Game Night with Jason Bateman. Fantastic movie.
Yeah, I haven't even heard of that.
I laughed the entire film. So it's Bateman, Rachel McAdams, Jesse Plemons is in it, which I love Jesse Plemons from Friday Night Lights, if you ever watch that show. But yeah, they have an awesome cast. God, what's his name? Kyle Chandler's in it. Really good actor. It's hilarious, but it's like also kind of like a murder mystery, but also really like a ton of comedy in between.
So it's like a dark comedy?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. That would be one I would check out for sure.
Yeah, it's funny. On one of the episodes I recently listened to, you announced that you loved Friday Night Lights too. So it's all coming full circle now.
Did you ever watch Friday Night Lights?
Not really. I remember when it was on. I just don't remember what I was watching at the time. But I got to be honest, like, you know, I watched TGIF when I was a kid. All, you know, The Family Matters, Step by Step, Boy Meets World, all that good stuff growing up. And when I discovered horror movies at like age 8 or something, that's pretty much all I would watch growing up. So all I knew of TV was sitcoms. And so I didn't watch anything. And then it wasn't until like the last 10 years where TV, in my opinion, started getting better. And now someone says, hey, check out this TV show. I'm like, oh, okay. But before, yeah, if someone's like, hey, you should watch that TV show, I'm like, no, thanks. Got movies to watch.
Yeah, I would say if you're a fan of like sports movies at all, even if you don't like football, it's so well written and so well acted, especially season one. I think you would get hooked on that show pretty quick.
Now, was it only a TV show?
Yes. So actually the way it happened is Peter Berg made the movie first. And then I think a year or 2 years later, he came out with the TV show, but it was unrelated. So it's not the same story. It's not the same characters. Although he brought back a couple characters and put them in new roles in the TV show, which was really cool. So Jesse Plemons is one of them. Connie Britton's back. And then like one of the guys, it's like a booster.
Connie Britton. Is that the lady from American Horror Story?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
So she's on a new show right now called 911, which I've been watching, which is pretty good so far.
You are a TV guy, aren't you?
You know what? I kind of like what you said. I used to not be, but after I got in like Friday Night Lights and then Breaking Bad and Dexter, like that got me back into the TV world.
Yeah, they make it really easy with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. You can binge watch all of it, so. And it's like one big movie.
So real quick, just want to thank everybody for clicking the download button on today's podcast. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. That will help grow and gain new listeners for us. Since we have the DeLorean here, Dave, let's punch up 1993 and cruise back in time here. How old were you in 93?
Yeah, I think you and I are right about the same age. I'm 34 this year, so.
Okay. So, yeah, you got me by 2 years. I'm 80, June 85.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would have been 12 at that point. Oh, my math is terrible. I would have been that's 8. Younger.
Yeah, that sounds better. Jeez. Like, I think it was 12 and
carried the 2 the wrong way. So, you're what, 10 years old at that point then?
That sounds about right.
Okay. So, what's your first memory of Sandlot, and when did you first see this movie?
I had no idea of its existence in theater. But this was one of those clamshell VHS tapes I was able to get a hold of and just watch it based on other kids' recommendations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like any kid, you know, when you see other kids playing sports, you aspire to be just as good playing sports, no matter what sport it is. It could have been, you know, a golf movie of any sort, and, you know, never holding a golf club in my life, I could be like, I want to be just as good as that kid. And so I remember watching The Sandlot. I was like, I want to be that guy. I can play baseball too. So yeah, definitely, you know, right around, like you said, age 8, age 10, just watching it in the comfort of the home and realizing what a fantastic movie you have on your hands.
Definitely. So did you start playing baseball after that, or did you play before?
I did actually play after. I realized I wasn't any good because as crushing as it is, I remember the season came down to me, which I had the like two best players on the team before me and they both struck out. So what kind of luck that is? I know, I thought I was going to let them hit a couple home runs. You know, maybe I'll just get hit by the ball. We'll be good to go. That's right. Somebody bring me home. And I was happy to have actually hit the ball, but it went straight to first base. The guy caught it, and he did this little walk and jump up and slam on the base. Just, jerk move. But
yeah,
I did play baseball for one season. And I don't know if Sandlot had anything to do with that, but maybe in my subconscious, I was trying to be, you know, the Jet.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, the last year, I was going through the store, and they had Benny the Jet shoes there, the black Converse. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's the odds that they actually have my shoe size? I wear a size 15, big guy.
My goodness.
Yeah. So I go over there, they've got my shoe size in Benny the Jet shoes. I just bought them. I've worn them like twice, but I was just like, I can't pass this up. When am I ever going to get a pair of PF Flyers?
Were you able to scale a fence?
No, fell right on my face.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the reality. They really put a lot of fake stuff in that movie. Yep.
Tried to outrun the dog, bit me in the ass, and I face planted, trying to go up the side of the fence. Didn't work at all. Now, you know, kind of growing up in your area, and I've got my own little story I'll share. But like, did you have like a group of kids that you would run around with in your neighborhood, and you know, get into trouble? And
yeah, we there was a few of us on the street. And we, you know, we did the normal things all kids do. You know, you throw the ball outside. I think I heard one of your other guys' episodes where you talked about, you know, when you would watch, I think JD and you talked about, you would go to the movies, see the movie, come home and play the movie. I think it was the Karate Kid episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's similar to what we did. You know, everybody would, you know, imitate, you know, Power Rangers or something. Everybody goes outside and pretends to play and whatnot. But
right.
I'm a hockey guy. Actually, which you probably would have guessed based on our previous conversations.
Yeah.
So I'm really big with hockey movies and all that stuff. But I think, you know, this movie holds a special place for anybody who grew up in that time, because this was one of the coolest kids movies they had.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, I can definitely remember that like movies would come out. You would just go act it out. Like if it was a football movie, you're playing football one day. If it was a basketball movie, now you're trying to be Michael Jordan from Space Jam.
Yep.
Like in... And same thing with like Ghostbusters. I can remember going up and down my neighborhood with a proton pack on my back, yeah. Just fake busting ghost.
It's a good thing we outgrew that, right? Because it, you know, it'd be cause for alarm if we tried to go outside and play Happy Death Day or something.
I thought you were gonna say outgrown the pack. I was like, no, I got one in my closet.
Oh, no. Can't outgrow across the streams.
I got it from what's that store? Like Halloween, Spirit Halloween.
Spirit.
Yeah. They had it on sale at the end of the year and it was like half off. Ooh. I was like, well, I just might as well just pick this up.
It was half off, but it was still $100.
I think it was 30. They were only selling the packs for like $60. It was pretty reasonable. So yeah, it lights up and makes all the noises and everything. Pretty cool.
Wow.
But I've got a 4-year-old, so he loves Ghostbusters. So now I just get to actually join him.
There you go.
I was using like a broom. So.
You got to leave it something to the imagination.
Let's get into the trailer. So if you guys are listening at home or you've got access to a computer right now, go ahead and punch up YouTube and type in the Sandlot original trailer. And we're going to be watching the one that was uploaded by Bunch of Trailers. It's got just over 1 million views. I will give a 3, 2, 1 countdown and we will hit play together. So Dave, you ready on your end?
I'm good.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, click.
I know you're smart, and I'm proud of you. I want you to make some friends this summer.
Meet Scotty Smalls.
Kyle, get it!
The kid is L7 winning.
My race is over.
Man, this is baseball. You gotta stop thinking. Just have fun. Climb trees, hop fences, get into trouble.
Just stand there and stick your glove out in the air.
I'll take care of it.
Now he's in.
Yeah! All right!
With the coolest guys in the neighborhood. They've got the look.
Wendy Peppercorn. Wow.
Hey, girls.
They've got the moves. They've got the rap.
Blockhead! Geek! Jerk! Idiot! Moron! You pop for apples in the toilet! And you like it!
You play ball like a girl!
Has got their ball.
That wasn't my ball!
Dad's father gave it to him. Babe Ruth signed that ball.
Babe Ruth!
We gotta get that ball back.
Got any bright ideas?
Initiate retrieval section number one. Power connect. Come on, homie, it's heavy. Now.
Century Fox presents...
Hey guys, it's the Sandlot Babies!
You're the ones that are making all that racket.
A lifetime of adventure.
Come on, Squeak, you can do it! Roll through, bud! Little bird!
Hila.
The Sandlot. A little piece of paradise, a half a block wide, and a whole season long.
Scotty, have you made any friends yet?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom.
All right, Dave, I'll let you go first. What were your thoughts on the trailer here?
When I watch the trailer, it brings back so many happy memories of watching this movie. And it reminds me that, you can never be too old to relive those childhood glory days, and I feel like I shouldn't have waited so long to watch this movie again.
It's definitely one of those movies, I think, as you get older, you can appreciate it more, because I feel like it kind of takes you back to being a little kid, and you just have, like, a lot of good memories, like, with the Erector set. Like, I can remember having one of those as a kid because of this movie, and, you know, we had a science fair, and I built this, like, moon rover, and it was super cool. We got to the science fair. It didn't work. I got last place. That's not the point of the story, though. It's that, you know, this movie was, it's a lot of fun. And I think the trailer does a good job of kind of putting little bits and pieces of some of the funny stuff, but also kind of getting to the story of what these kids have to kind of overcome, which is that giant dog that looks way too big on camera.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to say, too, because I remember when watching this movie as a kid, you think it's like this ferocious monster next door. Like you get the idea it's a dog, but it comes off way too big. And then right. In the end, you see the size of the dog. You're like, oh, it's just a dog. Now, granted, the dog wants to eat him, but
right.
I think the same as you. I'm like, how close is that camera to that dog?
Yeah. And I think that's just, you know, almost like folklore. Like the kids talk it up like it's this giant beast. You know, anybody that crosses the fence isn't going to come back, and it's eating all the baseballs. And the reality is it's just buried the balls in a hole and just goes and plays fetch with them. It's a totally nice dog.
They assume that's what Darth Vader's dog would do.
Right.
Since we have a blind Darth Vader living next door.
Definitely. So watching the trailer, when we get into the full episode, which will come out on Wednesday, what are you looking forward to most reviewing?
Just the relationship between the kids, because my memory of quite a few of these movies was just wishing that I was in a group like that, or that I had that many cool friends like that, you know, where they're all bonded as one, where, you know, you had the summer day where they all played baseball. And then if one didn't play, no one played. They all did something else. And that's not realistic. You try to do that nowadays. Oh, hey, Kyle, I don't want to play baseball. You're like, screw you. I'm going to go play baseball. You know? But I just, you know, just kind of like the kids in It, you know, kids in Stand By Me, kids in all these movies, the way that they were a Rat Pack tag team together. I want to rewatch that.
Okay, good. That's a really good comparison. Stand By Me or Goonies, you know, any of those types of movies. Nice. So let's jump into the box office numbers here. We're going to dive into how The Sandlot did theatrically. So this movie was released to theater on April 9th, 1993. The film was distributed by Fox with an estimated budget of $7 million with a runtime of 101 minutes. Opening weekend, the film was released to 1,772 theaters, and it ranked number two at the box office, bringing in a respectable $4.9 million first weekend. In week two, they duplicated as the number two movie in the country, and then brought in, again, $4.9 million over the weekend, which brought their 10-day total to $13 million, which is almost double their budget of seven. Dave, surprised at all by the numbers here up to week two?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm trying to remember early 90s in comparison to what movies do today. But like I said, my first hear of this movie was on VHS. So apparently some people knew it was out. And it seems like the people that saw it the first week, you know, went and saw it again the second week because it was the exact same income coming in. But yeah, that's some pretty respectable results to already double your budget.
Yep. In movies in that time, I mean, even like the top movie that weekend did like $17 million. I mean, there wasn't like movies that would come out at like $80 million first weekend. Or you're like Black Panther, we just saw open at like $209 million or something like that.
Right.
It was just crazy at that point. But there's also half the amount of theaters and the cost of tickets are half the cost too. So you got to take all that stuff into account. Now, The Sandlot would stay in theaters for a total of 6 weeks. That's pretty low. I thought that would be more like probably like 15 or 16 weeks, but they dipped out pretty quick. So the total domestic total ended up being $32,416,568. A additional 1.4 internationally, which brought their worldwide total to just under $34 million. That's, again, really good on a $7 million budget. So somebody at Fox probably got a raise.
Yeah,
I'd have to imagine. What do you think about the overall numbers there? Are you surprised it only lasted 6 weeks?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, there's a trend with kid movies that they'll potentially last longer in theater. You know, something that families can go see versus your run-of-the-mill, you know, horror movie. But I guess just depending on the time it came out and what movie actually was number one would explain why, you know, maybe it didn't last so long.
We're going to get into that, but I think you bring up a good point. I feel like maybe they released this a little bit too early, because essentially what you have is a movie about summer with a bunch of kids that you pulled right before summer out of theaters. Mm. Doesn't make a lot of sense, because I mean, those kids could have came to the movie during summertime and watched it over and over and over again with their friends.
Yeah, I feel like
they might have missed the boat there a little bit. With that being said, VHS was released in 1994 for rental. Figures for worldwide VHS and DVD sales are estimated to be around $76 million since the release, and it's become a cult favorite. You know, even though it did really well in theaters, it's done more than well with VHS and DVD sales. So, you know, north of over $100 million on a $7 million budget, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me one bit.
Right. And they continue to put out new ones. This year would be the 25-year anniversary for the movie.
Ooh, how special.
Yeah. So that's, I'm sure there's a Blu-ray coming out, 25-year anniversary. Probably a new DVD commentary track so they can make another million off of it. Now, let's jump back to the weekend of April 9th and look at the top 10 movies of that week. So number one was Indecent Proposal. That movie brought in 18, almost 19 million. It was number one movie at the box office and also debuted that weekend along with The Sandlot, which again was number two. Number three at the box office was Cop and a Half. Number four was The Adventures of Huck Finn. Number five, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Part 3. Number six, The Crush, which I've never heard of that movie. Number seven, The Crying Game. Number eight, Point of No Return. Number nine, Unforgiven. And number 10, Born Yesterday. Dave, any standouts on that list for you?
Oh, absolutely. Cop and a Half was also a decent part of my childhood. That I still quote that movie to this day. Anytime I go to a bar, you know, I'm like, what's your name? Steve. Nice name, Steve. Look at him. give me a milk, Steve, in a dirty glass. I just love it. And ironically, The Crush, the one you've said you've never heard of, I love that movie. That was the movie that basically took Alicia Silverstone from the Aerosmith videos and put her on the big screen. That had Alicia Silverstone and Carrie Ells from Saw.
Oh, well.
And Princess Bride. And
I need to see that because that was my crush growing up.
That was Alicia Silverstone. That's why they call it Crush, is it?
Aptly titled. So, yeah, I feel like I need to check that out. I wonder if it holds up. It's a drama thriller.
Have you seen Swim Fan?
Yes.
It's along the lines of that.
Okay. Yeah, if it pops up on Netflix or Amazon, I'll give it a quick watch. Let's talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. So this is on the back end of this franchise here. The first movie I love. Second movie, they toned it down. I still really like Secret of the Ooze, but it's not anywhere near what the original is for me. What did you think of the third sequel here?
Yeah, you're like, let's talk about the third one. I was like, do we have to? I've only seen it once, and that's a lot, you know, for a kid to not want to watch a movie a second time when it's Ninja Turtles.
Right.
I remember the basis of it, but I think it was one of those things where the video game was better than the movie.
Oh, for sure it was. Yeah. And, you know, the one thing I really don't like about the third one, I don't know if you remember this at all, but they got a different company to do their costumes.
I was wondering, didn't the turtles look worse?
They did. So in the first two, they were using Jim Henson creations. In the third one, they went away from Jim Henson, and they look so weird and plasticky and like a funny color, and like the mouse didn't match up as well. I don't know. The only thing good about the third one is they brought back Corey Feldman as the voice of Donatello.
That's and didn't they bring back Casey Jones?
They did bring back Casey Jones. Yeah,
they couldn't even save it.
No. But you know what? I haven't seen Cop and a Half probably since 1993.
Oh, goodness.
So that's a movie I need to go back and watch. Unforgiven, obviously, is a really good movie. It's just I'm not a Western guy. The only Western that I like is Back to the Future Part 3.
So, and that has a little bit to do with that, if I'm not mistaken.
Any other movies on that list for you?
None as important. I mean, I recognized most of them, but, you know, I wasn't a guy who watched Indecent Proposal or, you know, Point of No Return or anything. It just wasn't really my style. But, you know, I knew of them. I heard of them. Probably saw those VHS tapes laying around, too. But they probably stayed unwatched with the Ninja Turtles 3.
All right. So we know that the film was a success at the box office. We know it did amazing in VHS and DVD sales. So let's talk about how the film was received by the critics and audience here. So we're going to use Rotten Tomatoes to gauge the response. Just to make sure our audience knows I'm not cheating here. I didn't send you the numbers ahead of time, right, Dave?
That is correct.
You don't have them up on your computer? We're not cheating.
I have actually. This is embarrassing. I've never even been to RottenTomatoes.com. It's just. I'm an IMDb guy. That's it.
I am too. But for whatever reason, when we started the show, we're like, let's just do Rotten Tomatoes. So that's the only reason I use it before I go to the movies, honestly. Ruins it for me. I'll have you guess, because that's what I do to my co-hosts. Okay. How do you think the critics receive The Sandlot?
I'm going to go even 50%.
Okay. Great. Why do you think it's only 50?
Well, I mean, I didn't hear about it being in theater, and so I think it seems more like word of mouth carried the movie, but it wasn't till, you know, later that it, you know, started pushing its budget higher and it made more sales on VHS. So I feel like it did well enough, like we said, you know, for the time, it made its money back and everything, but it never did make number one, so I'm just going to give it the halfway mark.
Okay, great. And how about the audience? How do you think that was received on the audience side here?
I'll crank it just a little. I'm going to say 60%. So just a little more than critics.
Okay. You're very close on the critic response. They gave it a 57% rotten.
Okay.
Which is, we see that a lot with like comedy movies and sometimes these coming of age films. They're, you know, half the people like it, half don't. The audience score, though, is a certified fresh 89%.
Woo!
So... and that's, I think, part of why it's become a cult classic is, you know, most of the kids that have grown up on this movie just love it. So that's why we got such a high score there. Let's hear from a couple of the critics here. We got our old buddy, Roger Ebert, who gave it 3 out of 4 stars and said, "This is a movie that allows its kids to be kids, that shows them in an insular world of imagination and dreaming that children create entirely apart from adult domains and values." What'd you think about the review from Roger Ebert?
He always makes it more than what it is, doesn't he? I mean, he puts the icing on the cake, but I'm glad that he gives it 3 out of 4 stars. It's well deserved.
I'll never forgive him for the Tommy Boy review.
Some people can't appreciate a good Chris Farley-David Spade matchup.
Man, he said it was, I don't know if you remember that episode when we talked about it, but he said it was like one of the worst movies he ever saw in his life, and that wasn't one scene in there that made him laugh.
I call like, BS. Yeah, there's no way. Crap.
Yeah, I'd love to see you sit through that movie and not laugh. Bob Cannon of Entertainment Weekly gave the film a B+ and said, "Old baseball wisdom. The best teams win with strong fundamentals, and so do the movies." What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like how he brings up the old baseball because I think that's part of the charm of the movie. And another reason why I like it so much is it takes you to that time period. You know, they say that baseball is America's sport, you know, and it just reminds you of the good, clean, fun and kind of the wholesome, you know, I guess, companionship that it is with a large team on the field all at one time. And it's funny we talk about that because I know I'm getting off track, but I started thinking about could this movie be remade? You know, could you make a Sandlot with modern time baseball? And I don't think it would work at all. And I think part of the charm is, you know, the time period for it.
I think if you remade it today, you basically would have the upcoming Spielberg movie Ready Player One, where everybody's wearing a VR headphone. Like they're not even really playing baseball, but they're playing video game baseball with each other.
You are probably right.
Not everybody was that crazy about the movie here, so I've got a couple of negative reviews just to level it out here. Rita Kempley of the Washington Post said, "Older kids and overgrown ones, too, probably will notice that nothing much ever happens in this Bellaboard suburban variation of the Little Rascals." What do you think of Mrs. Kempley's response here?
Why does Miss Kempley got to get all big word on us? I mean, this is a kid's movie.
I know.
I think she's just trying to make herself sound more intelligent than she needs to. I mean, call the movie what it is, you know?
I feel like with a response like that, you had to have grown up in like a big city with no yard and no friends that you ever played with to not like this movie.
She gave it a bad rating because there's no VR in it.
Peter Rainier of the Los Angeles Times said the kids even have their own treehouse, which means that the production designer is the only person connected with this project that actually went out on a limb. Whew, that's a rough one. What'd you think of Peter Rainier's comments?
Tongue in cheek there. It was, you know, it's like when people are negative about a movie, they're hateful about it. So maybe these people don't like baseball or they don't like kids. It's just got to be one of the two. You know, I never had a treehouse, but I'm not hating. I mean, I wanted one.
Yeah, that would have been cool, except for me, I'm like deathly afraid of heights. So like I'll go up on a ladder like 3 steps and then like have a panic attack.
That would be deathly.
Yeah, so that wouldn't have worked for me. But yeah, I can remember having like forts and stuff, but they were like underground stuff that we like dug out. Everybody, hey, let's climb the tree. I'm like, nope, no thanks. I'll be down here. So that'll wrap it up for the critic response here. We're going to be back on Wednesday with the full review for The Sandlot. In the meantime, make sure you check out Dave over at Pop Culture Podcast and Black Cat Shadow, where he is the one of the co-hosts on that one. And then he is the host of Pop Culture Podcast. You can subscribe to all of those on iTunes, right, Dave?
That's right.
And then you're at Phantom Dark Dave on Twitter. Give him a follow on there. Make sure while you're at it, subscribe to our channel. Don't miss an episode. Rate, review, and leave us a comment. Help us grow the podcast. You can follow us on social media at Back in Time Pod, Facebook at facebook.com/backintimepod, and online at backintimepod.wordpress.com. For Dave and myself, it's time to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. See ya.